This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me, Mr. Chris Bird. Welcome.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I've got a cold. Again. But this one's from flying. I've landed. I am in the USA, so this is coming to you direct from the West Coast. But I am sitting watching the rain fall against the window, waiting for some Californian sunshine.
It's all right. I'm waiting for a tree to blow down in my garden, so I know where I'd rather be.
What are you waiting for it to blow down for?
It's like gale force winds in Birmingham at the time right. That we're recording. It is horrendous.
Just wanted some context there. I just thought you just sat there waiting for a particular tree to
fall down. I generally spend all day sitting there looking out the window going, I wonder if that grand old tree is going to break down, but no. That's probably a metaphor for something. Maybe the North Stand, but probably not.
No, the grand old tree, Chris Budd, is a metaphor for Aston Villa's consecutive winning home record.
It is indeed.
Going anywhere, or is it? Will it be 60 consecutive
firm
wins
roots
at
this one?
Villa Park as the Blades visit, hoping to chop it down? Chop that metaphorical tree down. It's the return of Chris Wilder, not to be confused with the serial killer, Christopher Wilder, a.k.a. the beauty pageant killer. Very sordid man. You might Google him. So I'm sure Chris Wilder was pleased that his parents named him after him.
I'm sure he's trying to bury that from Google history.
It's just a guess, Chris Wilder, if you're listening. No offence meant. We'll get into that shortly. A little bit of news. Middlesbrough, our FA Cup third round opponents, actually beat Port Vale in their League Cup game. So they are now in the semi-finals against Chelsea. And their home leg against Chelsea will be 3 days after Villa visits in the FA Cup. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, A, it shows you that they're actually a decent cup team, but at the same time, you would be tempted to focus on the semi-final, wouldn't you? Being two games away.
You would think so. Because, I mean, their priorities will be league first, league cup second, FA Cup third, you would think.
Yeah, but the league's not even in this. The conversation is cup semi-final 3 days after an FA Cup third round.
Bit of a no-brainer.
2 games away from Wembley. You look at Villa, you look at Chelsea, you probably fancy your chances against Chelsea more so than Villa. Although, you know that Chelsea are going to field a stronger team than Villa, potentially, because it is the semi-final after all, and Villa will be the third round. So Villa will rotate. Something to keep your eyes on there.
Supporting this My Old Man Said episode is Green King Sport. It is the season for festive football. And the best way to watch it? Down at your local Green King sports pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends old and new. So round up your team and get down your local for refreshing pints, good food and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky and Amazon is live at Green King Sports. That means wall-to-wall action on their huge HD screens. So head to your local Green King and watch every Watkins winner, Martinez save, and dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sports app and you'll receive 10% of drinks every single time the sports on the telly. There was a fab consultation meeting, Villa Fan Advisory Board meeting with, well, consultation. There's no consultation with these guys.
It's not a two-way conversation, is it?
Chris Heck, Ben Hatton. The new badge was shown. This is the new badge that's no consultation. Well, we'll let the professionals, to quote Ben Hatton, deal with it. Oh, cheers, Ben. Why not try to break the FA rules, who actually maintain that supporters have to be happy on many different levels with this badge? And can actually oppose it if they wish to. These two have been frantically speaking to the FA to say, oh, we're basically going on the research that's happened before. Now, the research that happened before said, you know, you've seen the results, were saying most fans wanted a claret lion. 77% voted for a round badge when it was up against a shield stroke gas lamp. Now, it's not a claret lion in the new badge. I haven't seen it, but it's basically an upgrade of the last few badges. The ones that have been our badge when we've been probably in our worst, shittest position in recent memory. So yeah, let's carry on with that legacy, shall we? I hope we win the league with this round badge, because you can't change it then, surely not.
Well, you know, people had enough sentimentality towards a round badge from history. If you've got modern history with it as well, it's going to be hilarious to watch the
The Lions flipped round and it says Aston Villa in the badge. So the Lion has flipped back, but ultimately, I mean, what I'm saying about the round badge and the claret lion, these are the things that the fan consultation, the research, the surveys said. So they're actually going against all of that and then actually saying in the same breath to the FA that, well, we have, you know, we've taken on board all the research. They haven't taken on board shit. They just have this notion that, oh, you've got to keep familiarity. And so that's just evolved that current badge, the wishy-washy badge with a yellow lion. I mean, younger audiences are probably used to that badge, so it's probably no big shift for them. But in terms of the process, it sucks. This is the first badge ever to be redeveloped under the new rules. And there's so many precedents set here. I mean, you'd have probably taken about 50 badges until you got to the point. 50 teams doing badges before you got to the process where actually badges agreed on and then rejected after a year. I mean, so at least in this first test run, there's a lot of precedents being laid here. But they're not going to be the only ones talking to the FA, let's put it that way, because they're breaching the rules big time. They're trying to hoodwink everybody here.
And then, of course, they showed that stupid 150-year stamp thing as well, which looks cheap as chips.
Well, that stamp is almost, it's, I don't care about that, it's distraction. The main thing is the main badge.
Yep.
And the process around that. And also this, I mean, it's a real can of worms, the stadium as well, the North Stand, which we knew it wasn't going to be started this summer. So with the Euros, you thought, right, it's going to be started next summer. Now it's just not going to happen. It's like something that's been promised and promised and promised. And the bottom line is, because they don't think they can sell extra 10,000 seats, they are not comfortable. And I've always wondered, you know, obviously following the club over a few decades now, where we have, it's been a bit of a fair weather thing in terms of filling the stadium. But even when we've done really well, in the 80s when we won the league, some of the attendances up to Christmas are shocking. It's never been a given. And that waiting list has just been one big marketing ploy. And, you know, Ben Hatton said in a previous meeting, and he's an accountant, so he knows numbers, and they've done, they've been revisionist over this in this last meeting, apparently. But he said a 37,000 waiting list. And in terms of stress testing that, in terms of will it come up with another 10,000 fans or, you know, a good percentage of those season ticket holders? Well, they're looking at the data and it's saying only 5,000 of those 37,000 have actually visited Villa Park in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and of course you would there'll be numbers of factors. That will be one, you know, some of the macroeconomics that you've spoken about on a number of occasions, you know, in terms of the longer.
But anyway, we'll get into this at a later date. Let's just focus on the match ahead. There's two things happening at Villa. It's all great on the pitch, off the pitch, despite what those two think. We're increasingly not happy, and they're not getting any better with their approach, put it that way. So Emery, the main thing about this press conference was Pau Torres' confirmation, which was actually already confirmed by Douglas Luiz on a Twitch stream, which not the first time he's been a bit loose with his lips. Loose lips sink ships.
He obviously took a bit of a whack, didn't he, in the Brentford game?
Yeah, also out, Tielemans still injured.
Pau Torres has got an ankle knock. Tielemans has got a calf.
Kamara out with a suspension. So now you're seeing, have we got a matchday squad or not? This is why it's good that Ramsey and Moreno are back. They've come at the right time, because this is when you start picking up your suspensions and injuries. You would imagine the back four would be, I think it would be Carlos and Konsa, as opposed to Longley and Konsa or Carlos.
Yeah, I think you'll probably have Dinia come back in. Obviously, he's had a little bit of a break. And obviously, you'll probably play Cash at right back. I mean, Moreno had a fantastic game at Brentford for the most part, bar a howler for the goal.
But if you're looking at Sheffield United and say, well, they're only threats, you know, physical threat, set pieces, would you go with Dinia, Longley, Carlos, and then Konsa, as opposed to having Cash in there?
Perhaps. I mean, I think it's probably good to have Cash coming off the bench and giving you a bit of energy if you need it. I do think Dinia will come back in. I have a feeling that Carlos and Konsa will play in this one.
Yeah, that's the main question here. It's the centre-back pairing. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not a case of Konsa and or Longley. It's because Konsa can obviously play in the right-back berth. In terms of midfield, you'd imagine McGinn dropping back to fill in for Kamara.
Yes, and obviously you've got, you know, having Luiz back is important. But having Ramsey in there another week on in his development, and obviously played minutes at Brentford again, so that'll be good just to kind of get him more and more up to speed.
I think your problem comes if you've got both Luiz and Kamara out.
Yes, yeah.
In terms of the way we play, that would certainly compromise it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you've got, I suppose, there will be a decision further forward in terms of Diaby or Bailey. Obviously, Bailey came off the bench having had a knock. I'd expect Bailey to actually come back in for this one if he's fit. I think he'll play. Obviously, came off the bench. You could argue changed the game a little bit, made the equaliser really well and did pretty well, so I would expect him to come back in for Diaby.
Yeah, I mean, there's two schools of thought about this game. It's one where some of those players have a chance here to excel and actually burn Sheffield United to the ground.
Wow.
Or it could be one of these that Manchester City and other teams that have been top have lost against teams at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that happens in football. I don't know if it's a complacency thing. So this is something we've got to guard against, because people are already counting how far this consecutive home run can go.
Yeah,
and our most dangerous time, our most focused time, we've got through that. And then if you take your eye off the ball here, which there is the potential, because you're going from it's a whole spectrum jump from Manchester City and Arsenal to Sheffield United. You're going from top to bottom straight away in terms of expectation. So you've got to guard against that big time.
I think the Brentford win was a big marker to put down there to come through that period. And we'd sort of thought, if you're going to lose one, it might be the Brentford one where we haven't tended to do well. I do think this one's a really difficult game. I think there's a lot to be said for a team like Sheffield United with a new manager, maybe him just taking the sort of letting them go and going, do you know what? Nobody's going to expect us to win this one. Let's just have a crack at Villa. And sometimes teams playing like that, a bit like in, you know, early round cup games where you can kind of just go for broke, they can be quite dangerous teams to play against. That said, I do think if Villa play well, they should be winning this game. Sheffield United are where they are for a reason.
In terms of the last six games, we are the form team in the Premier League. Sheffield United are 17th in terms of last six form. They only have 1 point from 8 games away this season, and that was against Brighton. Now, Old Villa, they'd be rubbing their hands and looking forward to their donation of 3 points from the Old Villa. But yeah, again, another test. If we can just systematically get rid of these and Burnley, then you're looking at a title race. Big.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care,
a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To win this one, and just to put some kind of a marker down, obviously knowing that Arsenal play Liverpool, you could be top at Christmas.
Yeah.
Would be huge, just psychologically, and to be able to sign off the year in a good way, knowing obviously we've had such an incredible 2023, and you know, we're probably the second best team in the league over the calendar year, is big in itself.
We've also got the only 100% home record in top flight European leagues as well. Yeah, there's just, in my mind, does being top of the league puts added pressure on you? We've got to get there first. You've got to beat Sheffield United. But
I don't think so, not for Villa, because the expectation is not that we should be there. It's like we're on this journey. You know there's going to be bumps in the road. Just enjoy being there and let's see where we go. You just take it, the cliche one game at a time and all those things.
Middle distance running, it's like, I always prefer the runners that would just tuck in and then on the final bend, go for it, kick for home.
A little bit like we did last season, really, obviously in a different way for Europe. We kind of just slowly went about it, built momentum, and then we kind of sprinted for home fairly well.
Because you look at Arsenal, they get ahead, but then it's that mental thing of you've got to keep winning to stay on top.
Yeah, and it's certainly easier to chase, I think.
It's hard to do that. And then it's hard, once you lost that momentum, to regain it again. So, I don't mind being tucked away in second or third as long as you're in distance coming into the final stretch.
Yep. And we've been top at Christmas before, and we know how that went the last time we did it. And we really fell off, didn't we, under Gregory in 98-99.
But these games are ones you can't tactically lose a game just to stay under the radar. So
you've got to take the three points. It's another, a bit like Brentford in a way, it's another get the job done. Because I think if you do put a few past these, you're not going to get the credit that you probably would hope for anyway. It's like you don't really win. To be honest with you,
I would like to put a few past these because we do need to know there's gears here. And you want
to. Which we kind of had earlier in the year, I think.
If you put a few goals past this team, that would suggest that you're pretty comfortable and you could almost relax a bit, because playing games against Brentford every week, that's just going to gnaw you down until you crumble eventually.
Yeah, agreed. You want to have a certain amount of control in this one. I don't know whether you're going to see a Sheffield United team who park the bus, try and keep it really tight and hit on the break, a bit like sort of what like Mostar did fairly successfully, you'd say, in both games, or if Wilder says, go and try and hurt Villa, they've got a few players out, get in amongst them and maybe get an early goal or something.
You're in a position, Mr. Bird, that when you need the 3 points, because you're up in the top trenches of the league, every podcast is one of those, just get the job done, get the 3 points, next podcast. This is one of those, just get the job done.
What I mean by that is, I think, City and Arsenal, you are punching up, respectfully, to Sheffield United. This one is, you are expected to win this one. Brentford was by any means necessary.
Let's hopefully we'll win it easily is what I'm hankering for here.
And sort of, obviously set yourself up for the trip to Old Trafford on Boxing Day.
In terms of the threats of Sheffield United, I've got to admit, I don't know what is completely different from what Chris Wilder has actually done. Obviously, they got the win against Brentford at home. Their other two games have been an away loss at Liverpool and Chelsea, which perhaps was to be expected.
I mean, they gave Chelsea a really good game in that one.
Yeah, but one thing that Wilder does distill is that kind of fire and brimstone and effort, which perhaps set a point where they were probably getting disillusioned with the season. So it's probably good timing to have a kind of refresh in terms of just attitude, never mind tactical switches.
Yep. I mean, you talk about threat. Sheffield United have actually got the fewest shots and lowest XG of any Premier League side so far this season.
Well, this is it. I think Sheffield United will be going a bit more direct just to create chances, really.
Yeah, and just have a crack. I think if they just sit back and wait for it to happen, it's, I don't know, potentially a little bit of a silly, especially the way Villa have been playing. Villa will happily control a game if you sit back and will be patient.
Against Chelsea, they just tried to flood the midfield. It's essentially their game plan, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Archer, he started off in a wider position, wasn't he?
Yes, and obviously because he sort of looked really sharp, didn't he, in those first couple of games he played for them. I'll be brutally honest, I haven't watched a lot of Sheffield United this season. To be honest, as soon as they kind of came up and they'd sold their two best players, I was a bit like, oh, that's sort of flying the white flag before you've even started.
Archer, obviously a lot of hype around him, and a lot of it's wishful thinking. But one thing you knew, he was a certified finisher. He started 13 games, but he's only scored 2 goals. But that stat about they've had the fewest shot, they're just not creating chances for him. So he is being starved in that respect. It's not like, well, he's only 2 in 13, you know, it's a 1 in 6.5 or whatever striker. I don't think he is that, because I think if you give him a certain amount of chances in a game, he's probably going to score more than like the likes of Tammy Abraham, who...
Oh, yeah, he's certainly more. He looks more clinical.
So it's hard to judge. It's just good for him, this move, in terms of he's getting game time. And yes, he may not initially, because of the lack of chances, but he'll be learning. And it's a steeper learning curve, because he's going, right, what happens if I'm really playing for a shit team against good teams? How can I maneuver that and find a way? Or he might just be mentally crushed and then fade away and end up in League One. I mean, that's not our problem.
I mean, you hope not, really, for his sake. But I do wonder if Sheffield United will have half an eye on sort of next season already, potentially. That's not to be disrespectful and write them off, but I think that's possibly why you bring Wilder in, is that he's been there before. You can slot him straight in, and if you do go down...
I don't think they've given up, Chris, at this point in time. There's a lot of season to go.
There is, but I just look at that bottom three already and there's a gap, isn't there? You know, you look at the teams above them with Bournemouth, Wolves, Everton, etc.
Well, they'll need points now, because at the turn of the year there will be a gap unless they pick up points now. I think for example, Souza sitting in the defensive midfield has been one of their better players. Surely he's going to have his work cut out if Villa play through the lines and play through that midfield four in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, they play sort of like a 4-1-4-1. You think you're going to have a flooded midfield, otherwise Villa could... You know, we've walked through much better midfields.
Yeah, I have a feeling it'll be a 4-stroke bank of 5 in front of that.
That'd be basically like a 4-5-1, and you'll probably have Archer up top on his own.
Yeah, or a McBurney.
Yeah, but when they'd conceded 5 at Burnley before and a 3-1 at Bournemouth as well, which obviously was the end of the previous manager. But you know, it's kind of, you know, Newcastle have battered them, and they've been on the end of a few hidings. It's not like, you know, someone like, say, Luton, who've actually been keeping games fairly tight, haven't they? Even when they've been playing the big sides, they've managed to actually stay in the game. Sheffield haven't as much.
Yeah, when it comes to the cliches of the type of teams that win titles and, you know, get in the Champions League, we looked at, you know, people were saying about that Brentford, I think you may have referenced that, you know, this is like United under Ferguson would play again, you know, with players suspended. They might even get a player sent off, but they'd get through a game at like that Brentford one like we did. In the same breath, they would also swat away certain teams and give them a good pasting. And you wouldn't mind one or two or three, maybe 3 or 4 of those kind of a performances by this Villa team. I think that it also helps to get the plaudits, doesn't it? Because they're the eye-catching headlines.
Yeah. It's just all about keeping momentum going.
Yeah, as I said, you do need a breather from these battles. I mean, the one against Spurs, the one against Brentford, Bournemouth as well. You've got to throw that one in there. Manchester
Even
City,
Arsenal's a real
Arsenal. Yeah, these are all grueling. It's like it does catch up with you. So nice 5-0. Just to take the pressure off would be much appreciated, especially before Christmas.
Yeah, obviously we've lost a couple of players for this one. We haven't really had to think about not having Pau Torres in the league much. Obviously, you know, Mings got injured, Torres came straight in, took a little while, but now he's very much bedded in now. And now it's like, okay, now it's more looking like a sort of maybe a team Villa would play with in Europe. You know, we obviously have Kamara, Tielemans has been playing well. See, Torres has been great. So those guys who've come back in, as you said, Ramsey, Moreno, are big in these kind of games.
Yeah. Mum's pool panel results at Villa will be actually going into this vying to win 13 of their opening 18 league fixtures of the season for the first time ever. So we are really setting new ground on the pitch at the moment. So with that said, what are you going for?
I'm going for a hard fought, but very much a Villa home win.
Yeah, I have one eye on this happening that does happen where the top team does sometimes come unstuck against the plucky, well-organised bottom team. And, you know, with a new manager and Chris Wilder, who has done really, you know, he had done pretty well with Sheffield United, considering what was at his disposal in terms of players.
I mean, their first season when they came up, they were incredible, weren't they?
Yeah, he certainly knows how to organise them. Which is the easier game, Sheffield United at home or Burnley at home?
Well, I only Sheffield asked United that
because one of
manager.
Them needs to get battered. That's why I'm asking you question. People need to see a good battering. So I'm going home win anyway. I only need to say home win.
Yeah, I'm going for a home
win. I
don't
have to go by how many goals. So that will do. There will not be something for the weekend before the United game. It is Christmas. And I have Christmas show still to edit. And there's only a certain amount of hours in the day. And I'll be in a wooden box by the time the new year starts if we don't have some time.
And of course, you're 8 hours behind everyone.
Yeah, if we don't have some time off. So with that said, United game, there's an intriguing one. If you can beat Sheffield United, then you're really in play with the big boys. You're in the top four cemented, and you're in a position where actually you could go to Old Trafford and you can really almost like shoot down United's hopes of the Champions League.
Well, you've got, was it 10 points on them already? You could start putting a gap, you know, really putting a gap down in there.
They're still trying to find some kind of consistencies. But at the same time, you know, they're a team that can give you they can give you trouble. I'm quite glad to be away in that game. There's perhaps less pressure on us.
Yeah, especially with our, you know, our general record at Old Trafford. You know, we saw the other week they went to, you know, they went to Anfield, where most people would have thought they'd get a pasting, and got out of there with a 0-0 draw. So they can turn up, and have tended to in those games against the bigger sides this year, actually.
Yeah.
And in general, even when they've been rubbish, they do give sides a game.
I think it's a great fixture for Boxing Day for the neutral. Brilliant. And
the game of the day, that
for Villa games as well. And for once, we will be going to Old Trafford, and they will be fearing us.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.